The reading is on page 1225 and is 1 John 1, 1 to 4. I'll just give you a sec to find it. So page 1225 and it's 1 John 1, 1 to 4. The incarnation of the word of life, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the word of the Lord.
Great, thanks, Danielle. Hi, as Jude said, my name is Hannah, and I'm part of the family here at St. James. I'm also the Anglican chaplain to University of and John Moores, and it's great to see some of you who I met last week or the week before. Thanks for coming. I hope you enjoy it and you feel welcomed. I'm married to Jude, and we have two children. I enjoy playing netball, and I'm a southerner brought up near to London. I went to Wolverhampton University, didn't know what to study, so chose a subject that I liked at A-level, which was RE. So I got a degree in religious studies, went on to do a PGCE, because again, I just wanted to carry on being a student, and I became a secondary school teacher. I worked in Wolverhampton for 6 years, and then decided to have a little teaching break, and I worked in Uganda in East Africa for about 14 months, sort of teaching with a Christian organisation. I came back, moved back to London. I met Jude, we got married, and we've been up here in Liverpool now for about 7 years. Now, Jude briefly told you last week about how he became a Christian. He had quite a dramatic experience of God when he was 23. I, on the other hand, had a slightly different story. My parents were Christians, and I was brought up in a church. I went to Sunday school, loved the youth, loved Girls Brigade. And I remember becoming a Christian, or, you know, saying to Jesus that I loved him and I believed in him at a very small age, when I was about 5 or 6. But it wasn't until I was in year 12, in the lower sixth, that I got baptised. And I think that was quite a significant time for me, when I wanted to say to my parents and to my friends, you know, although I've been brought up with this, I actually believe it for myself. And I believe Jesus died for me and he makes a difference in my life. And I've been on that journey really ever since. And for me, it's been about trusting in God and remembering his faithfulness throughout my life. And just to give you a couple of examples, you know, when life doesn't go quite to plan, you know, holding on to God in those times is what I had to do. When I returned from Uganda, I was 31, and I really wanted to get married. And I hadn't met anybody, and I really wanted to marry a Christian. And I found that year, 2 years, really hard. And some people will resonate with this. I mean, it's not the end of the world, but there can be real sadness when you have such a desire to meet someone, you want family, and it's not happening. And I remember praying, I remember my mum praying, I remember talking on the phone to my mum, and amidst the sadness, I knew God was going to be faithful, and I trusted him. I mean, some of you may think I should have waited a bit longer, but I did meet Jude in London, and I believe that was God. I believe God put Jude in my path. I know. that's okay. I'm thankful for our marriage, and I really believe God was in it. God was at work in my story. And you know, after we got married, there's expectations, there's things that we want, you know. We really wanted family. We really felt we wanted children. We were in our early 30s. And for some reason, we don't know why, it didn't happen for us. And I remember those couple of years were really, really hard. I found going to church hard. I felt praying hard. But I was really felt that I was just lifted by friends and family who were praying for us, praying for family. And I got to a point, I remember very distinctly, I got to a point where family was more important to me than my own pregnancy. And some of you know, some of you don't know, but our two children are adopted. They are amazing. I can look back and see how God worked in Jude and I, our lives, how he changed us during that really difficult time. And we have two wonderful children who we really believe are gifts from God. God was at work in my story. And it's not just the hard times of life. I trust in God in all areas of my life. You know, especially when it comes to vocations and jobs and careers. I remember a few years ago, the kids had started at school. They were both full time. And I was walking to 92 Degrees for a coffee with a student. I know some of you think that's all I do. It is, but it's a ministry that some people, we know, we're called to. And I remember walking from our house to the cafe and I was praying, which I always do, just praying for our conversation, chatting to God. And I said to God, this was a few years ago, I said, do you know what? I'd really like to maybe get a job again. I don't think it's secondary school teaching. I think I'm ready to have something for me. I'd really like to work with students. And I remember sort of daring myself to say, I'd really like to be a university chaplain. And I thought that was not possible. I thought you had to be ordained to do that, you know, be a vicar. But anyway, this time last year, I was asked to consider the post as Anglican chaplain to the two universities. I may have forgotten that prayer, but God hadn't forgotten that prayer. God was faithful, and I feel that I can trust him in all areas of my life. And he continues to be at work in my story. Now, that's just a little bit of my story. It may have inspired you. It may you may have liked it. You may not have liked it. You may not believe some of it. You may want to ask me some questions later about it, which is fine. But that's my story. It's quite a precious thing. I can't change it. That's how I feel. That's what's happened. And we all have a story. And the theme today is about telling and building. Tell, this word tell, is from the Liverpool Diocesan Rule of Life, and build is one of our values here at St. James. The Rule of Life states that to tell is to speak confidently about your story. And it also talks about just bringing just one friend to church. And at St. James, we want to see God's kingdom built locally, nationally, and globally, so that people come to know Jesus. And what do I mean by God's kingdom? God's kingdom is where Jesus is the king. The world as it's meant to be, that's what we believe as Christians, where there's the rule and influence of Jesus in every aspect of life. It's good, there's goodness, there's human flourishing. And this is what we want to see. That's what we want to build. So tell and build. They're talking about the same thing, mission and evangelism. Telling others about Jesus, telling our story, being a witness for Jesus, so that more lives are transformed and more communities and cities are transformed too. When I was in the sixth form, again in lower sixth, I witnessed a car accident. In those days, you could just come and go to school as you wanted to. And I remember leaving after my lessons and walking home at lunchtime. And a car was pulling out from a side street onto the main road. The main road was still only 30 miles an hour, but it was a main road. And I remember the hedge here was a bit overgrown in someone's garden. And he was edging out, trying to see if any cars were coming, thinking it was clear, pulled out, but didn't see this car, who had two of my friends in from sixth form, you know, come by, and it, unfortunately, they smashed into each other. Thankfully, nobody was hurt really badly. There was whiplash, shock. The noise was incredible. But I saw it all happen. And the police came and they took my number. Thankfully, they were all okay. But the next day, a police officer came around my house and I had to give a witness statement. I remember drawing a little picture, had to draw crosses and arrows and say exactly what happened. I didn't have to say who I thought was to blame, but I just had to give my account of what happened. And they would have met up with a couple of other people on the other side of the road who would also seen what had happened. I was a witness. Being a witness is not a stressful occupation. All you have to do is say what you have seen, say what you've heard. If someone else had witnessed that accident and said something completely different, saw it from a completely different perspective, so be it. We are called to be a witness of Jesus, to say what we have seen and heard and experienced. And this is what John was writing about in the passage that Danielle read earlier. So if you want to just have a look at it again, 1 John chapter 1. Now John, the person that wrote this, was one of Jesus' disciples. So he wrote this letter and he physically saw and heard and touched Jesus. He and the other apostles were eyewitnesses of Jesus. That's who he means when he writes we in verse 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. And when he writes you in verse 2, and we proclaim to you, he is speaking to the next generation of Jesus's followers. So when the apostles share the word of life, as it says there, the word of life is Jesus, with others, these others are also brought into fellowship with the apostles and with God the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ, as it says in verse 3. Now, as Jude said last week, the word fellowship is a bit of a funny word. It's from the Greek word koinonia, and it means participation or sharing. John says that when people hear the message about Jesus through the apostles, there's the opportunity to bring them into a real relationship with Jesus himself and into real participation of God's love and life. And we are called to do the same today, to tell others our story, what we have seen and heard, what Jesus has done in our lives, so our friends and our family and the people we meet can come into a real relationship with God. And by doing this, what will happen? Well, in verse 5, it says it will make our joy complete. You know, when we see someone take their first steps of faith, it's amazing. You know, seeing the joy and the peace and the forgiveness that only Jesus can bring, it's amazing. You know, we get that joy and that happiness by seeing God at work in others. What I'd love you to do, if you're comfortable, is turn to the person next to you. If you don't know them, maybe introduce yourself, say hi, say your name. And if you're happy, could you just answer this question? Why are you in Liverpool? What has brought you here? If you're a visitor here, maybe you could say where you're from and maybe how you ended up there. So your hometown, where you live now, why are you there? Okay, just 1 minute. Go. Okay, I know that was really quick. Please carry on those conversations at the end over tea and coffee. That would be great. Now, I'm not necessarily going to ask for feedback and ask you for your answers, but I'm guessing that some of you said some of the following reasons. I've come to university to study. Actually, anyone that's for? Yeah, quite a few. maybe for some of you, I came to university a few years ago and I've stayed. Anyone? Yeah, people love Liverpool. They seem to stay. It's great. Maybe you were born here. Anyone born in Liverpool? And, oh, yeah. A couple of you, Jean, as well. Maybe you came for a job. You're up here for a job. Yeah. Maybe your partner lives in Liverpool and that's why you're here. When people ask me why I'm in Liverpool, I think maybe they detect a southern accent. You know, how come you're up here? I've generally said that it's because my husband got a job up here. And depending on who it is and what time I've got and how I feel, I might give a little bit more, you know, say that he's a vicar of a local church just to get into a conversation. That's what I used to say. And I want to challenge us all, including myself, and say that your reason for being in Liverpool, that reason why I just gave you, is a secondary reason to a higher reason. And this is the reason. You and I are in Liverpool because God wants us in Liverpool. I'm not in Liverpool because Jude got a curacy up here. I mean, I am, but I'm also not. I'm in Liverpool because this is where God wants me, Hannah, to be for this season of life. A definition of a missionary is one who is sent with a purpose. So change the reason, if you're comfortable in your head, why you're in Liverpool to this. I'm in Liverpool because God has sent me here. Do you feel like repeating that after me? If you feel like that's true, maybe. Should we just say it together? I'm in Liverpool because God has sent me here. I'm in Liverpool because God has sent me here. You may think you're here to study a subject you really enjoy, for a career that you want in the future. You might think you're here because it was the only university that accepted you through clearing. You might think that. You might be here because you think you're here to work. You're here to raise a family. You may be here because you were born here. You may be here because you're looking after elderly relatives or grandchildren. And yes, all those things are really important. And as a chaplain, you know, I will be asking and checking that you're working hard and you're on course with your course and your studies. But what if, above all these reasons, you have been sent here by God with a purpose, to be a missionary, to tell your story to the people you meet and introduce them to Jesus? So where is your mission field? You know, students, it's your campus. It's your accommodation block. It's your student house. It's your lecture theatre. It's your placement. Me, it is Starbucks on Mount Pleasant. It is. But it's also the school gate where I talk and chat to parents. For others, it's the office, it's the workplace, the shop, the hospital, the gym. What I'd love you to do now, if you're comfortable, is to get back in your pairs and just maybe say how you feel about that. You might not feel quite comfortable that that is your main reason for being here. But if you do, how does that make you feel? And if you find that idea helpful, that you're here to be a witness for Jesus, first and foremost, who is God calling you to be a witness to? 60 seconds. Off you go. Okay. Please carry on over tea and coffee. I want to just go back to the car accident that I witnessed. And I said that being a witness, it shouldn't be a stressful occupation. But the reality is, some of us do find sharing our story, telling others about Jesus, however you want to say it, hard and difficult. Why? Firstly, I think we disqualify ourselves. I know I do. Jude would say he's an evangelist. He loves talking about his faith. He loves telling his story at any opportunity. I often say, well, I'm the more pastoral one. I like discipling. I like being with Christians and, you know, doing Bible studies. I'll let people like Jude do that, and I'll do the other bit. You know, and also, Jude's story is much more dramatic than mine. Mine's a little bit dull, maybe. I disqualify myself, and that is wrong. Jesus commanded us all, including me and you, to go and make disciples. Not just those who find it easy, not those with a dramatic story, but all of us. We all have a genuine story. We are all qualified to be a witness for Jesus. Secondly, I think we sometimes put mission evangelism in a little box, and we think that we only have to talk to people about Jesus when there's an evangelistic event on. Now, we love the CUs here at St. James. We support them. I talk at them sometimes. We give financially. We pray for them. And they're great. They have this missions week, usually in February, I think. And Sam, who's not here today, I think he's probably coming this afternoon, he's in charge of missions week. So we'll be praying for them during that week. They have loads of events on around campus and around the city, opportunities to share faith with the university students. But there is a danger, if we're not careful, that we will wait until February to do mission and to talk about Jesus. And it's not just the CU. Here at St. James's, we have some events that are more evangelistic than others. So we had one back in the summer. And we need to be careful not to just wait for these events to invite people to and talk about our faith. We need to be always ready to tell our story. And finally, another reason why we might find it a bit difficult is that I think we put pressure on ourselves, thinking that it's us that needs to make people Christians. You know, it would have been a lot harder when I was making that witness statement to the police officer if I had to say which party I thought should pay the insurance claim. That's not what I was asked to do. And we're not asked to take responsibility for someone else's decision. Do we need to convince people? No, not really. We just need to tell our story and let God do the rest. People don't need to be impressed, and they don't need to be persuaded. But they do need to be told. And it's the Holy Spirit who impresses and persuades people. All that stuff that happens on the inside of us when we come to know Jesus, that's the Holy Spirit, not us. And it's good to be reminded of this. People do not need to be impressed. They don't need to be persuaded, but they do need to be told. Going back to the Bible passage, John and the first Christians felt there was an imperative and an urgency to share their faith with others. Right at the beginning of the church was on mission. In fact, this is in part what it means to be the church. It's always been that way. And the church comes unstuck if we lose that. So just as I close, just remind you of a few things that I've said, hopefully that were helpful. Firstly, we are missionaries. We have been sent by God with a purpose to be a witness for Jesus. Telling our story should not be stressful. We don't need to convince or persuade people, but we do need to tell. We are all totally qualified to tell our stories. Don't let our minds tell us otherwise. And don't compare ourselves with other people and other people's stories. Always be ready. And it's the Holy Spirit who convicts and converts, not us. How freeing. I'm going to ask the band to come up now. And I'd love us to have a chance to respond. And I think there may be three different ways to respond. And I think responding to a word is helpful. I think it just sort of says, yeah, God, you've spoken, and I just want to acknowledge that. Today I might want to do something different. I want to start the week differently. And this is only if you feel comfortable. But I just think it would be really helpful if we responded. As I prepared this sermon, I felt God speak to me clearly, which doesn't always happen, about this primary purpose, why we're here in Liverpool, or why we're here in the place where you are. You know, we are to be a witness for Jesus, first and foremost, above our jobs and above everything else. And if this has spoken to you and you want to just tell God that this is what you want, this maybe is a different posture you want to go into work with tomorrow, that you are a witness for Jesus, I'd love you just to stand where you are. That's great. So many of you standing. It's wonderful. Secondly, you may feel like I do that others are better at witnessing about their faith, and you need courage. You want courage to be able to tell your story. And I'd love to pray for you for that too. And if that's you, you'd like courage to tell your story, I'd love you to stand as well. Thank you. And finally, you may not be a Christian person here. You might find this God thing a little strange, or you're not quite sure, but you know that there's something. Maybe you'd like to start your own story with Jesus involved with it. We've all got a great story maybe up to this point, but maybe you want Jesus into your story now. Or you'd just like to ask some questions about the Christian faith. And I'd love you to maybe stand too, and I'll pray for you. Thank you, that's great. I'm just going to pray for us. I'm standing too. I want to be a witness for Jesus going into this week. So I'm just going to pray. And then we're going to sing together. Yeah, Heavenly Father, I thank you for every person here today. Thank you especially for those who are standing, who have responded to this word. Lord, I pray for those who really want to be a witness for you in their workplace, in their home life, as they go around Liverpool, wherever they live, that their primary purpose here is to tell their story and to be a witness for you. Help them this week, I pray, to do that. And Lord, I pray for those of us who need more courage. Give us courage, Lord, I pray. We just need to tell. We don't need to convince and we don't need to persuade. Help us to tell, I pray, this week. And those who have stood, Lord, who just want to know more about the Christian faith, who maybe want to know you, Jesus, more. I pray for them, Lord. I pray that you would meet them where they're at. And may they know you and have a relationship with you. I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand if you're not standing. Let's all stand, and Matt's going to lead us. Let's worship together.